If you're a fan of daily awesome pop culture t-shirts, Ripped Apparel has you covered, and you can use promo code ACTION at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's code ACTION at checkout on rippedapparel.com.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. Remains for me.
I'm your huckleberry.
What do you say we cut the Kit Kat and haul?
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for March 5th, 2018. I'm your host, Zach. Just now we have Joe.
We're rolling out.
And no Chris this week. He got buried by Snowpocalypse 2018. Was it Quinn? Was the name of the storm? I don't remember. I wasn't even paying attention. It wasn't going to hit.
It had some angsty Hot Topic teen name.
Mm-hmm. Quinifer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has no power to internet, so he'll be back hopefully next week. But yeah, we're going to dive in quite a bit to talk about this week. We're going to cut things off with Oscars, but we got some Death Wish talk later on because I watched the remake. And
oh boy, you're a brave one.
There's definitely some weird stuff going on there, a bunch of other stuff as well. So let's dive right in. So the 90th Oscars were this past weekend. I did not watch the whatever was it, I think it was like over 3 hours long show.
Don't worry, nobody did.
Yeah, I think the lowest rated Oscars in like a decade or something. Some crazy like no one was watching it.
I think they're finally gonna start to realize that people don't just want to see like rich liberal actors like masturbating for 3.5 hours, you know, where it's like, oh, gun laws, oh, rights, oh, gender, like, yeah. Why don't we just talk about the fucking movies, all right? Like people are just like, even like movie buffs are just like, I'll fucking read about it, like, whatever.
Yeah,
like, I don't care.
Well, it was also weird too, because like there's this whole like running thing for the whole show. Apparently they were like, Jimmy Kimmel was giving the person who made the shortest speech a jet ski. And,
yeah,
but then
wow, the laughs never seem to stop.
Yeah, but then they're also like, we need to keep the show moving. Here's like a 20-minute long montage about how awesome movies are. It's like,
you know what I love too? Chris Rock, too edgy for the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
right? And now it's all about inclusion, and they don't know how to pick up the phone. What? Like, really? Oscar's so white. The first phone call you should have made should have been to Chris Rock to be mm-hmm. like, Chris, we need you. We fucked up. Like, we're sorry. Please come back.
Yeah. And then like I saw some other theories too. It's like there's no, I mean, all the like the movies have gotten progressively Dunkirk is the movie that made the most money as far as the Oscar nominees.
Sure.
Made like 185 million, but like if you go back to like the 90s when I was like everyone was watching the Oscars, it was like you had like fucking like Titanic and stuff. So it's like.
Right.
The movies have gotten, like, the movies that are nominating are getting, like, much, much smaller and niche, and so, like, general audiences don't care.
Yeah, oh, of course not. Again, it's like, for lack of a better term, it's pretty much, like, masturbatory.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, oh, look at how great Hollywood is. It's like, well, okay. Did anyone see this movie? Look at how great it is. Behold its splendor.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone like this movie? No, we all hated it, but it was gorgeous. Like, what? Huh?
But yeah, so anyway, as far as the winners go, Best Picture and Best Director went to Shape of Water, so Guillermo del Toro finally getting an Oscar, which is cool. I feel like
very cool, but shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, for this, I mean, I guess because maybe, like, again, the political climate is kind of, like, right for it, or like ripe for a movie like this, where it's like, you could be anything you want to be, you could fuck a fish, it doesn't matter. We're all fish. Like, huh?
Yeah,
like I don't think this is a movie that 10 years ago would have had like a chance, but in the social justice age, I guess it's kind of like you have to take it seriously. But regardless, I haven't seen the movie. I'm just saying, like, it seems so fucking weird that a movie like this would even get, like, a fair shake. But, I mean, good for him, man. I think we're all fans of GDT.
I think, you know? Shibamaru is literally out next week on Blu-ray, so you can check it out then, I guess.
Yeah, so you can wait 3.5 months for there to be any Netflix availability on it.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's also, like, this is also, like, a, like, I mean, sort of like Guillermo del Toro, like, it's for this, but it's also for, like, everything else. Like,
yeah, but see, I hate when you do that shit. I hate that. It's like, if he makes a good movie, just give him the award for the movie. Don't be like, oh, yeah. Well, you've paid your dues. You've made the industry enough money, and now we're going to reward you. Like, fuck you, man.
It's not as bad as, like, Scorsese or something, but...
Right. Oh, no, but it's certainly, like, in that ballpark, I would say.
Well, actually speaking of that, like, best actor, Gary Oldman, that was definitely...
Where was that? Dracula.
Yeah, I heard his, like, Churchill and Darkest Hour was amazing, but, like, this is definitely, like, Gary Oldman Lifetime Achievement Award, like...
Right.
You should have been nominated in 01, like, decades ago, so...
Yeah. 100%. 100%. But by all accounts, like, that movie, Darkest Hour, by all accounts, it's boring as shit, but, like, a great performance by Gary Oldman, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, Lincoln bored me to fucking tears, but, I mean, it was for Daniel Day-Lewis, you know?
Mm-hmm. Lead actress, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and then Sam Rockwell got Best Supporting Actor for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Apparently I need to see this movie, because I hear it's a fucking awesome.
It's the same guy who made, like, In Bruges and, was it Seven Psychopaths?
Mm-hmm.
And best supporting actress was Allison Janney for I, Tonya.
Wow.
And
nothing. No nomination for Margot Robbie though.
I don't remember. I have to go back to, like, the. Yeah,
I don't remember even nominees, hearing it, so yeah. I just assumed it was a no.
I know. It was like when, like, things were like, yeah, she was nominated for. Best actress.
Wow. Okay, good for her. Shit.
Yeah, that was, like, one of the earliest, like, Oscar talk things. Was, like, Margot Robbie. Like,
right.
She's Tonya Harding. best animated movie was, obviously, Coco. That was not surprising at all.
So you mean it wasn't one of the obligatory, obscure French animated films that nobody saw?
And then, it, like, the one that replaced Lego Batman.
Oh, God.
Which didn't even get nominated. Coco, and not surprising. And also, all the lead act, like, all the acting ones were not surprising, because, like, it was literally just everyone who won every other, like, Golden Globe / SAG Award / like, every other award. Like, it was just, like, there was no, like, shocking upset.
I think the most shocking thing, and it really isn't even that shocking because, again, it's like a Lifetime Achievement Award thing, was GDT.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. But I think the real shock, let me clarify that. I think the real shock was in it winning Best Picture.
Yeah.
And not Best Director, so.
Because he was up against Paul Thomas Anderson, Greta Gerwig, Christopher Nolan, and Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
And then just a couple, some of the other awards. The one I was happy about, because it's like, we're speaking of, like, Lifetime Achievement Awards, but, like, this is like he should have won, like years ago, is Roger Deakins for cinematography. He finally won for Blade Runner 2049.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he's done a cinematography, like, I think, well, he's been nominated 13 times, and he's done the cinematography for, like, he did, like, Fargo, and Skyfall, and Sicario, and Arrival, and...
Holy shit.
Basically, he's, like, the greatest all cinematographer who ever lived.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And, like, all of his movies are, like, movies where it's, like, you can just put any frame of this movie on a wall, and it's, like, art. It's, like, you just have, like, be, like, this, that's like, great. Incredible piece of art. Yeah, I mean, No Country for Old Men, like, like A Beautiful Mind, Big Lebowski.
So it seems to me like they just wanted to fucking dangle this carrot in front of him and be like, "Yeah, you want it? You want your Oscar? Keep making us movies."
Yeah.
I think they're going to do the same thing with Jordan Peele. Like, "Huh? You want your Oscar? Keep getting black people to see movies. Come on, mm-hmm. Get them out. Maybe give us a Get Out, too. I don't want to do it. Maybe give us a Get Out, too."
Yeah, Roger Deakins, awesome. Should have won that, like, decades ago, but... Oh, and then also, one of the big upsets, I think, or, like, kind of, like surprising things, Baby Driver got shut out of both sound categories.
Which,
like, you feel like...
how?
Yeah.
How, though?
Like, sound editing? Like, that's the entire movie.
Yeah. It's a music video.
Yeah.
So what? Like,
Dunkirk won both sound awards.
That was really good fucking sound, though. I mean, like, freaky good, but still, like... In a perfect world, maybe you give Christopher Nolan director, and then let Baby Driver have one of the sounds, you know, and Dunkirk have the other.
Yeah. And then, best documentary, Icarus.
Nice.
Yeah, I
fucking
like,
great.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that seems like a right up your alley, Joe. Like a sports documentary.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, it was fucking awesome. Like, I almost didn't watch it because, like, they really now the cat's out of the bag. But, like, when it first came out. Like, when it was first coming to Netflix and they had, like, the trailer for it and shit, it was... They literally just made it seem like it was about this guy who wanted to, like, dope himself, right? When, because that's the whole premise, is that it's a guy who's trying to, like, push himself to the physical limit as a cyclist and then push himself to the physical limit of, like, steroid use as a cyclist and, like, see just, like, how big of an impact it really has, and is everyone in cycling really doing it, blah blah blah. First of all, the answer is yes, and second of all, just like this incredible story unfolds while he's doing it, because the guy he gets in contact with about doping just happens to be like the fucking conductor of the Russian doping symphony going on for the state. So, like, I mean, everyone knows the plot line by now, but like, I saw it when it was still kind of like, oh yeah, I know there's some crazy, like, Russian espionage going on at some point in this movie, but you're just going to have to watch it. So, as you're watching it happen, you're like, oh man, oh shit, oh god, run, no, get out, go. Like, it really is almost like a fucking political thriller, but really good, so I'm happy for them. Also, like, what else was it even up against, honestly? You know, like, that was just, like, the biggest documentary, by far the biggest documentary of the year. I don't know, unless it was some documentary about, like, a creperie in Paris or something. I couldn't see anything else. I didn't mean to quiz you. I'm just saying, like, it was like, so big.
You can, like, look at the titles and just be like, what?
Huh. Yeah, exactly.
Like, one of them is called Faces Places. Like, one is called Strong Island.
No.
Last Man in Aleppo. Abacus, small enough to jail.
That is like the bet. That sounds like a Documentary Now documentary. Like, that sounds like a Fred Armisen joke. Oh, that's
like,
great.
Like he's a prisoner in, like, the world's smallest jail or something.
right. Oh my goodness.
And then probably another major thing worth mentioning: visual effects, Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, good. Welcome to the party.
No, nobody saw it, but at least they got some Oscars.
And really, that's what it's all about.
So, yeah, so that's pretty much it for the Academy Awards. Kind of boring. It was like, like, everything that you expected to happen happened. There was nothing, nothing crazy or, there's no, like, insanity like last year where they screwed up the Best Picture winner or anything. It was just, like, a very long, meh, apparently, ceremony with, like, every expected winner winning.
Yeah.
So yeah, so anyway, so moving on, we got a couple trailers out this week. So we got the full trailer for Lost in Space, Netflix reboot of the classic TV show, which is coming in April, so that's a little over a month away on Netflix. Yeah, I think probably the biggest thing for this full trailer, besides like more just kind of showing more of what the show actually is going to be, is that the robots, like the classic robot character, Danger Will Robinson, is actually like an alien creation that they find on this planet. It's not like it's not something that came with them on the ship.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And like Will finds it in the jungle and then like brings it back and it's like, hey, I found a new friend.
That's just so, like, unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I don't know. That to me just seems like one of those changes for the sake of change.
Yeah, I feel like it could have just been, like, the AI or something of the ship. Like, it could have been, like a Siri or something.
Yeah, he's an alien robot. Okay. Mm-hmm. Way to go, guys. Really put your stamp on it.
He still says Danger Will Robinson, though, so I guess that's something.
Yeah, let's not change that up, because we don't want to upset anybody.
And it also looks like the planet they crashed on, like, might have, like, it might, like, its climate shifts, like, very quickly, or, like, there's, like, different like, areas of the planet. Like, because it looks like there's, like, an alien rainforest, but then there's also, like, the crash land, like, this, like, snowy tundra, but then the snow melts and like their ship ends up in the bottom of a lake. So it's just like this like super shifting planet.
Uh-huh.
Although maybe they're just, like I don't know if that was a thing from the original show, but like they also kind of did that in the awful movie but that was like time travel, like they were like going between different time periods of the planet and it was like shifting. But yeah, I don't know if that's like a Lost in Space thing of just like this like planet that shifts around them. But the last version and this version are doing that, so.
Interesting.
And but yeah, I mean, it looks besides like the, well, to see how the robot works, if that's gonna work or not. But like as far as like the look of the show and like the cast, like it looks pretty awesome. So.
Yeah.
The new gritty reboot of Lost in Space.
Everywhere.
So yeah, so April 13th is when all... I think it's going to be a 10-episode first season on Netflix, so definitely check that out.
Seems
when it
comes about
out.
Right. Cool.
And then we also got the trailer for season 2 of Legion, which is coming April 3rd to FX. And is it...
I'm chilling to watch that first season, man.
It's good. It's not a show where you're like, it's like the plot is like, it doesn't really focus on the plot. So if you want like a plot focused show, it's not that kind of show, but like the visuals, okay. Like the visuals of it and like what the hell, like it's just like, it's always like keeping you guessing like what is going to happen, who's going to show up. Like it's like, it goes from like a crazy action sequence to like a dance sequence to like, it's all like, is this all in someone's head? Like who, it's like, it turns into like Inception, where you're like in people's dreams. It's like it's insanity.
Oh. All right, cool.
And season 2 looks like it's going to be even more insane and like just more crazy visuals and like going into people's, like because the main character David's whole thing is that he's like, well, he's the son of Professor X, but he's also like super telepathic and like is like a ton of different powers, but he also thinks like for like most of his life he's like schizophrenic, so he's been in like a mental institution for like most of his life, and so it's this whole thing of like he's in like they're trying to like figure out like what's going on with him, like so it's like going into like his mind and it's all crazy, and Jermaine Clement is there mixing drinks. It's just like,
oh my god. Well, now I have to watch it.
Yeah. It's great, but it's also just like completely insane. So
I could do insane as long as it's good.
If it's Noah Hawley who created Fargo,
All right.
So yes, it's April 3rd. Definitely looking forward to that. And yeah, so moving on, we got the a quick teaser and also a release date for Luke Cage season 2 coming to Netflix. It's gonna be June 22nd this summer.
Before you know it.
And yeah, so just quick teaser. No really idea of what the plot is or like who the villain might be or. If Iron Fist is going to show up, hopefully not.
Oh, God, I hope we could be so lucky.
Because for whatever reason, they're still making Iron Fist Season 2, so that, like, I don't know why they just not do that and just have, like, Heroes for Hire, but...
I just don't think they want to admit that they failed.
Yeah.
And that nobody likes Iron Fist, or at least this iteration of it. So I think it's easier for them to just be like, oh, yeah, Season 2, you'll see. It'll be different.
And hopefully this new season of Luke Cage doesn't, like, collapse in, like, into, like, garbage like the last season. Because the first half of Luke Cage was, like, amazing, and then it was just,
it was great.
And then, spoilers, they kill Cottonmouth, and it's just like, well, this new villain's awful, and I don't... And then, just, like, the worst final battle in Marvel MCU history, like...
It really was, like, the last 10 minutes of Meteor Man.
Yeah. Or just like a weird like They Live fight where it's just like like them just like slugging each other
with the whole neighborhood like yeah or boo.
Should we call the cops? Nah,
man, can't trust the cops.
I filmed this for World Star.
Yeah, fucking weird. But the first like, definitely the first like 4 to 6 episodes.
Yeah.
Were just so superior.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. I think, like, especially up through, like, that whole, like, YMCA thing, like, with the couch out the window and all that shit, like, that was, I think that was, like, the high point around there, you know?
Yep. And, obviously, Rosario Dawson's gonna be back. Misty Knight's back.
Of course.
Simone Missick. Misty has a bionic arm because she got it cut off by ninjas in Defenders. So. And yeah, so yes, the summer for that. I think it seems like Netflix is trying to like just get all these like get all their MCU shows out before they all get taken away by Disney.
Oh, yeah, they're all fast-tracked. I mean, Punisher 2 is shooting now.
Yeah.
Like, as we speak. Mm-hmm. So, fucking, they do not want to have Disney come in and be like, all right, you had your fun. They want to be like, oh, no, we're already in development on seasons 4 through 7.
Yep. And Jessica Jones season 2 is out right now, if you're listening to this. I'm sure Iron Fist might be, like, maybe that might even be like fall this year. Who knows? Like,
yeah.
I think they said they're not going to do. There probably won't be the Defenders season 2. And also nowhere in Daredevil season 3, which I think is the one like everyone's kind of waiting for. But it's like Daredevil and Punisher are like the two that I know we're all definitely waiting for.
Yeah, those are the two gay daddies in this really this relationship. You know, it's like all right, yeah. These other people are cool and everything. And obviously Luke Cage is probably the best of the other shows. But, I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Disney and streaming, some news this week. Jon Favreau is going to be apparently writing and producing a live-action Star Wars show for the upcoming Disney streaming service.
The yet-to-be...
Named
revealed. The alleged Disney streaming service.
Yeah, so live-action TV show. He guest-starred on the Clone Wars cartoon.
Oh, Get Out.
Which I can't remember who he played, but yeah, I think he was a pretty big character in there. And he's also, like, he's going to be voicing an alien in Solo coming in, like, a month or two here.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember, Jennifer, he doesn't have a lot of, TV show running, experience, really.
Not that I can think of.
It's obviously just been, directing and starring in movies.
Yeah, but I'm pretty confident he's up for the the challenge. I think it's great and everything. You know, I'm excited about his involvement, but really more than his involvement, I'm excited about just the idea of a live action Star Wars show on this Disney network. Because we still don't know much about it, but if this is a possibility, live action Disney shows on this network, well, now you're looking at a way to get not just, kids and families who want to have all the, Little Mermaid sequels on demand. You know what I'm saying? Now you're talking about a way to maybe not chase Netflix out of town, but at least compete for the wallets of the people who already pay for Netflix. You know, that 18 to 34. So very interesting. Very interesting. I wonder if, I don't wonder. I will predict that this is probably going to open a gigantic Pandora's box of other Marvel characters. Not necessarily big characters like Spider-Man or anyone in the Spider-Man universe, but geez Louise,
getting a TV show or a show on this.
Yes, exactly. Like I'm saying, now you're probably going to be able to get into the real deep cuts.
I want that Moon Knight show.
Who knows, man? Maybe they're saving Blade and Moon Knight and whatever for this streaming service. Ghost Rider, yeah, maybe they've been listening to the Everything Action Cast and the wheels are turning for a Marvel Knights universe. Who knows? But maybe they just don't want to, or rather, maybe they want to keep the cards very close to their vest because, they want to save it for their own network and not a Netflix joint. So exciting stuff, man. I really did go from being cool about the Disney service to now being like, oh, clever girl. What else can you do?
Yeah. So that might be next year sometime. There's still, we still have no solid details about what any of,
They still need to create it and give it a name and then announce
and
it.
And pricing and...
Right.
If it's I'm sure it'll probably be $10 a month or something.
Oh yeah, they're not stupid.
Yeah.
It'll probably be $7.99 a month basic and then $11.99 or something like that for some sort of premium service. They might do something where it's just original content for some baseline price and then original content plus
the vault.
I don't know. But really, seriously, imagine that. Imagine that. I mean, that would be one way to do it. Or the other way you could do it, too, is just like Hulu and Netflix. Well, Hulu's a little bit different, but how Netflix does it, where it's how many devices do you want to be able to watch on at once? That sort of thing. Because then you have a family that's got six devices who need to use the service simultaneously, and it costs a little bit more a month. I found that one out the hard way. PSA to all our listeners, maybe don't let all of your friends bum your Netflix account, because then you won't be able to watch it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I digress.
So other news, actually breaking right before we started recording, is that Vin Diesel has been cast as Bloodshot for the first movie of the Valiant Cinematic Universe.
I mean... What? I only say that because the rumor was Jake Gyllenhaal. The rumor was Jared Leto. Jared Leto, Vin Diesel. What? That's apples and oranges, but okay. I'm fine with it.
Well, I guess, apparently Jared Leto might be the villain now or something.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Or maybe he was always going to be the villain, and then he just, everyone's just like... They're casting him in Bloodshot as Bloodshot. Bloodshot.
Wow. Okay, cool.
But yeah, this Valiant universe they've been trying to get off the ground for a while now. They had like this like kind of, they had like a they're talking about they want to do Bloodshot, Harbinger, and then like another of the Valiant comics as the three to kick off this universe with.
Sure.
And someone
I think they gotta leave with Bloodshot. That's like their Superman piece, or yeah. As far as like visibility and recognizability go, right?
Yeah, it's Bloodshot or like Exo Manowar, I would say.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
Oh, there's no. I haven't heard anything about like Exo Manowar as far as like a movie. Like they haven't mentioned him at all as far as like the movies they want to use to kick off this universe. But he co-starred with Iron Man in a video game.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the last I ever heard of that.
Heavy metal. So Vin Diesel's Bloodshot is like a super soldier who has nanites in his bloodstream that basically like he can get a hole blown in his chest and like nanites like reblow his chest, so he's basically like indestructible. He's sort of like Wolverine where he doesn't know what his real identity is, and he's a part of this like weird government project, but then he kind of like escapes and is trying to figure out who he is.
Yeah, I think that could work, no problem. I think that could work. You know, for like general audiences, I mean, like yeah. Obviously Bloodshot fans are gonna go see this, right? That's a no-brainer. But the average Joe moviegoer, it works. People like Wolverine, people like Captain America, and he's basically, a little bit of both, right?
Yeah, and
the super soldier sense, and
yeah.
Who am I? Who is anyone?
And they're also talking about, like, they want to make this, like, the tone similar to, like, 80s action movies like RoboCop, Terminator, and Total Recall.
You're not scaring me.
and then the three, Bloodshot, Harbinger, and then Harbinger Wars would be, like, they want to make, like, a trilogy of, like, interconnected movies, and then maybe go from there.
That'd be kind of cool. But with Vin Diesel, you could bet on two things. Muscle cars and yep. Family.
Bloodshot drives like a... some sort of like
who's Mustang my family? Where's my family? I got no family.
And there's actually... I think we heard about like a Comic-Con last year or something, but like they're doing like a web series. Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, which I think it's been on YouTube or something, but... Jason Day and Frank is actually going to be Bloodshot on
yes.
that, so. That'll be pretty everyone's cool. First taste of what Bloodshot might be.
I don't know, I'm Team JDF, no disrespect to Vin, but that's a Green Ranger, motherfucker, you can't mess with that.
Yeah. So other news, David Chase is... apparently going to make a prequel movie to Sopranos.
Right at the height of its popularity.
Yes. it's going to be... It's called The Many Saints of Newark, which is a working title right now, but it's going to be set in the 60s in Newark, New Jersey. It's going to be... like there's like a Newark riots.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a bunch of like the Sopranos characters are going to... either show up or other characters related to the Sopranos are gonna show up like Tony's father and Tony's uncle
Junior.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I'm guessing this is just gonna be like a Goodfellas Bronx Tale esque mob movie.
Mm-hmm.
That leans on the Sopranos, I guess, universe or mythos,
yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it. Like, it's going to lean on that stuff. Then it'll probably be in the same spirit because the Sopranos is fucking, like, I mean, it's horrendous and it's about organized crime and violence and lives being ruined and all that shit, but, like, it's pretty fucking funny, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's everything that you... kind of want from a really good mob movie like Goodfellas or Casino or something like that, where you get a little bit of we get a little bit of comedy too, just to fucking cleanse the palate a little bit. But yeah, dude, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it. I just wonder, with most things, if this couldn't have just been like a really cool mob movie from the guy who made The Sopranos, or if they felt that, you know, it had to lean on all that stuff to get people to go see it. I don't know. I'm just speculating. I think it's going to be good either way, but I guess we'll see. No word on casting. This is literally just like announcing like that it's going to be a thing, right?
Yeah, they just announced that's all that, they like, said. This thing exists.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, this is a thing. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Just, everyone gets like CG de-aged.
Yeah, can you imagine? We got like a baby James Gandolfini. It's like a 4-year-old with his de-aged face plastered onto it.
Wow, where?
Gabagool. He said his first word.
So, other news, speaking of directing stuff, Michael Bay signed on for a new project. He's going to be directing Robo-Apocalypse, which is based on a book. And Spielberg was actually going to be directing it, but now they're going to go the complete opposite direction and go Michael Bay.
They were going to go for nuanced and story-driven, and then they decided explosions.
And yeah, it's basically, based on this book, it's basically like Terminator. It's a global war between man and machine.
Okay, original.
So that all be like, all the robots will be like CG, like, messes that you can't figure out what is actually going on. Transformers is smaller. Human-sized Transformers.
So basically he's making another Transformers.
Yeah.
Or I'd have to assume that that's what it's going to be, basically.
And he's also going to be directing a movie called Six Underground, which, written by the guys who wrote Deadpool. And apparently it's, there's a quote that says, it's The Rock meets Suicide Squad.
Huh. Is The Rock in it, or is that just,
like,
oh,
the,
never
like
mind,
his, like
the movie,
The Rock, I'm a goose.
It's just The Rock is in everything nowadays, so you can't really get
upset at me for being
like, so who's The Rock playing?
I'm sure he's going to be, like, they would talk to him.
I'm sure he's in it, yeah. I'm sure he's actually in it.
So it's some sort of, like, weird team has to, like, infiltrate someplace or something, I guess. That's what it seems like. I think maybe it's maybe underground.
Well, it would make sense.
God, if Michael Bay could go back and make a movie as good as The Rock, like, I would forgive him the entire Transformers series.
Oh, yeah, I think he'd get, like, a Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
I mean, with Trump, you know, it wouldn't take much. He'd be like, he made a tremendous film, much akin to his earlier work, such as The Rock, starring Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery.
Yeah. God, yeah, The Rock is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah. I mean, it's really got fucking everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I mean it's goddamn crazy, but it's got great action. It's got Nicolas Cage. I mean, I don't really know, like, what else goes into a
like movie. peak Nicolas Cage,
yeah.
Peak later years John Connery before he was forced into retirement by the Extraordinary Gentleman.
Yeah,
like a slew of that guys.
Yeah, pretty much, like, that guy on a roll.
Ed Harris, just, like,
yeah.
Screaming at people. Like,
yeah, like, what else do you want?
Yeah, it's incredible. That's why, it's like, Criterion Collection is, like random art house French art movies and, like, The Rock.
Yeah. Is that still in? Oh, you might not know that. I'll just have to Google it because I don't actually own The Rock, but I need to. I'm wondering if it's still
in print. I had the Criterion DVD collection. I don't think there's like a Blu-ray of like the Criterion collection. I bought it on Blu-ray just as like a regular like The Rock Blu-ray.
Oh, sure, but... I gotcha. Well, if there's not, there certainly will be.
Yeah, that the Criterion Collection with like an essay from like Roger Ebert about why The Rock is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Incredible.
Actually, speaking of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, some release date shuffling happened this week because we weren't here last week, but the big news last week or at the end of last week was that The Avengers is moving up to April 27th. And not May 4th, as originally intended.
Was it? So, what was the reason for that? Do you know what the reason was for that?
I don't think...
Just because they can?
It's... I think, like, their reason that they gave was, like, oh, it's, like, every country will release at the exact same time now, or something. If it released May 4th, like, the U.S. would be, like, a week after... other countries, or, like, a week before other countries or something. I don't think they really gave, like, a, like, solid reasoning why. There's, like, we're moving it up a week. There's some theory, I think there's some theorizing that they wanted to get away, like, get slightly away from, like, Solo and Deadpool or something for whatever reason.
Yeah, that'd make a ton of sense.
But that move kind of forced Rampage, The Rock... video game movie that's coming up to go from April 20th to April 13th to get away from that chainsaw.
Yeah. Yeah. But even that, too, like, a week? I mean...
Yeah.
You might as well pull it out of theaters once Avengers is out, right? I want to see Rampage. I'm not talking shit about that movie. I'm just saying, like, any movie going up against Infinity Wars, I mean, shit.
Yeah.
What do you even do at that point? You've got The Rock, you've got giant monsters, but like,
well,
Infinity
luckily,
Wars, Stone Cold Steve Thanos.
Yeah, luckily April 13th doesn't have a lot of like big contenders. It's got there's gonna be a it's Shia LaBeouf, Stellan Skarsgård. Borg versus McEnroe biopic / sports drama.
Sure, but I mean, like, if you put it out the week before, like, why would you? Why would you move a week up if you're Rampage?
Yeah,
because you're not gonna like you're basically giving yourself a week to make money. Because once Avengers is out, no one, I hate to break it to you, but, like, no one is seeing Rampage over Infinity Wars, right?
Well, this gives them 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. It is 2 weeks. Because
they were coming on April 20th, so they would have 1 weekend.
Okay.
And then next weekend was
Avengers. See, I misunderstood. I thought it was the same date, and then they're like, ah, shit, we gotta go. And only moved up 1 week. I was gonna say, like, fuck,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, now they have 2 weeks to, like... make as much money
okay.
as they can.
All right, well, that's a different story.
But yeah, April... Yeah, so... And it doesn't seem like a lot of competition, so that's probably... It seems like a pretty smart move.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah, this Borg McEnroe movie, which no one's seen... There's no trailers or nothing for. The Anna Faris Overboard remake.
What?
That's a real thing that exists.
Okay.
Some sort of high school... So I think maybe like a Christian high school movie or it says The Miracle Season. I don't know if that's Christian or if it's just because like we didn't think we could do it.
Right.
But yeah. None of those have any chance against The Rock. So.
No. No, they sure don't.
But yeah, we're like slightly over a month from like. Pure insanity starting, so...
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
And last bit of news this week, actually, more release date news, but the Crow remake that's been in development for, like,
development hell, like, we could
like,
say.
Yeah, for, like, what?
Ever?
Yeah, seemingly forever. It finally actually has a release date. So October 11th, 2019 is when they're saying it's going to come out.
Yeah, dude, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Corin Hardy, who directed The Halo, and then he's directing the Conjuring spinoff The Nun, is directing this movie. Jason Momoa is the latest person to star.
For right now.
Yeah, they've gone through, it's like people either mentioned or like it like signed on and then left was like right. James McAvoy, Channing
Bradley
Tatum,
Cooper,
Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper, Mark Wahlberg, Alexander Skarsgård, Tom Hiddleston, and then Luke Evans was like the last person. And then he left in 2015.
Jesus Christ.
So yes, yeah, so, yeah, so now Jason Momoa is going to star as the Crow.
Can I call it right now? Jason Momoa is going to leave, and then it's going to eventually wind up being The Rock. I said it. You heard it here first.
The only thing with that is, like, who could possibly murder The Rock?
Like, they're going to have to, like, tie him to train tracks, like an old Western film.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. It's going to be like, when The Rock is accidentally killed by a train in front of his fiance, you know? I think that's the only realistic way to portray it.
Yeah. I would really like to see, like, The Rock as, like, the front man of some sort of, like, emo rock band or something.
Oh, God. Mark Dacascos, he's not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got that sweet Iron Chef money coming in, but that's about it.
Or why has no one hired Scott Adkins?
Another great question. Give Edward Furlong another chance.
Yeah.
I'm a Crow fan, and even I didn't watch that sequel. Like Crow Trail of Tears or whatever it was called, like the Native American one. No,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so who knows if this will still ever happen. Like, this has been just like the ongoing, like, someone's directing it, now they're not. This guy's starring it.
I'm just going to say it, dude. The franchise is cursed. Like, mm-hmm. It just is. Doesn't mean it's a bad franchise, even though it is a bad franchise. I mean, the first movie is incredible. It stands on its own. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, just everything after that. And not just in terms of, like, oh, this movie was not great. Like, you know, the weird TNT show and, like, although The Crow Salvation, that TNT show, will always have mm-hmm. a special place in my heart because that was one of the first, like, movie news or TV, in this case TV, but, like, one of the first big, like, comic booky entertainment news things that I, like, read about on the internet and then, like, followed. Because this was, like, I don't know, what was it, like, 99, something like that? 98? Maybe even earlier, I don't know, but I was young, and I was, like, just figuring out the internet, and, yeah, I was like, whoa, there's, like, comic book news online? They're making a Crow TV series, what a time to be alive. Trash, but nostalgic trash.
Yeah.
Trust me, I have no disillusions about how terrible that show was.
Mm-hmm. It was nice.
Yeah, man, a lot of shit. I mean, I was going to say anything goes, but, well, it did.
Pretty much, like, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
On, like, whatever UPN or Fox affiliate that you had, like.
Just fucking craziness, man.
Mm-hmm.
If Everything Action ever gets its own Everything Action network, that's just going to be our power block.
just 90s syndicated
just
shows.
Syndicated 90s shows like VIP, Jack of All Trades, fucking Nightman, Mantis,
Renegade.
Acapulco Heat. All the heavy hitters. It's going to be all of those, and then we're just going to, like, save up our money for, like, one or two semi-legitimate movies occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else. Oh, and then maybe like reruns of WMAC Masters and American Gladiators.
Yep. We're actually going more obscure, like Battle Dome.
Oh, yeah.
Which I might think that show introduced Terry Crews to the world.
I might have to go see who like owns the rights to a lot of these things. We might be able to just get Renegade outright from Lorenzo Lamas. Like, no one actually owns the rights, but like, you have my permission to show it. Oh, man, sweet.
He just has, like, the master tapes and, like, his, like,
yeah, closet. He's like, here you boys go. Huh, thanks, Mr. Lamas.
Wasn't Battle Dome, like, some sort of weird, like, WCW thing as well? Like, they were, like, some sort of weird crossover.
Oh, man. I think you're right about that, because WCW is, like, just the home of crossovers. Like, yeah. Whether Thunder in Paradise or RoboCop or fucking, you know, Ready to Rumble and... there's so much. There's just so much questionable WCW shit.
Oh, there's a feud between, like, the Battle Dome guys and, like, the WCW guys. Like, some sort of, like, fake feud.
Wow. Compelling television.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for
WCW Spider-Man Show and Tell.
Your WCW update. Your
90s syndicated action show news.
Yeah. So we talked before, and you didn't really see anything really.
I've been at sea with Chang.
Yeah. So I watched a bunch of stuff. In theaters. I saw Game Nights, which was extremely hilarious. Very, very, very good.
They have shown like nothing in the trailers, like a few jokes or whatever, but. By and large, like, that's one of those movies that I'm like, I'm just going to have to see this to really, like...
Yeah, there's lots, especially, like, there's lots of crazy twists and, like, sort of, like, red herrings and, like, sure. Trying to, like, figure out what the hell is actually going on. Yeah, so they did a great job of, like, not showing, like, any, even getting hints of, like, what is actually
going
on. That's
what I mean. I was like, I got to see this, but I just, like, what?
Yeah, it's super hilarious. Everyone in it is like fantastic. Like Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams are a great together. They have this whole thing where they're like they met like pub trivia and then they got married, but they're like super competitive and like they have this, every single game they're like super competitive about it. And then they kind of like build up this like game night crew that they all meet up every week. And then Jason Bateman's brothers for like Kyle Chandler is like this like. Globe-trotting, like, venture capitalist guy, and there's this whole thing where, like, he always want, like, he, well, there's kind of a weird subplot, because, like, all these movies have to have some kind of, like, weird, like, personal growth subplot or something, but this whole subplot is, like, Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams want to have a baby, but, like, Jason Bateman's, like, sperm count is low, or, like, there's something where, like, they can't have a baby because he has some like, unresolved confidence issues against his brother, so, like, this whole thing... They're trying to, like, get him to come to game night or, like, go to his game night and try to win it so that he, like, Jason Bateman can, like, gain his confidence back and have a baby. But then his brother sets up this whole crazy, like, murder mystery game where, like, someone's going to get kidnapped and, like, dragged off. But then he's actually kidnapped, none of them realize that he's actually kidnapped. So there's a lot of great, like, they're, like, not reacting to, like, this, like, highly dangerous situations around them. Like, there's this giant fight scene that happens in, like, this, like, mansion that Kyle Chandler's renting. And he's fighting off these guys and, like, smashing through, like, the kitchen and, like, they're, like, stabbing each other. And everyone's just like, yeah, this is realistic. I'm impressed by this. And they're just, like, eating cheese and, like, drinking wine. And you're just like, yeah, good job. I found out who he hired. These guys are good. And then there's, like, a part later on where, like, Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams, like, find, like, the kidnappers, but then they don't realize, they just think they're all, like, local actors, so they're, like, not treating them seriously at all, and they somehow get, like, the upper hand on them, so they're just, like, playing, like, Third Eye Blind, like, taking over this bar, just making fun of them, and, like, but they're, like, actually, like, serious murdering kidnappers. And yeah, like, Jesse Plemons is great. He's, like, their, like, weird, creepy cop neighbor who, like, they get, like, he used to come to game night, but then, like, he got a divorce with his wife, and, like, everyone liked his wife more than him, so, like, they don't want to invite him to game night anymore. So he's just, like, constantly just, like, they're, like, trying to, like, hide, like, every time they have game night, they're just like, nope, not having game night, just people over for things.
Brutal.
And, yeah, then, like, Billy Magnuson, who was, I guess he was in Ingrid Goes West last year. This is, like, the first big thing I've seen him in, but, he's great as, like, he's, like, they're, like, their dumb friend Ryan, like, he always brings, like, some, like, ditzy, like, Instagram model he finds to game night, and he always loses. But then, for this one at Kyle Chandler's house, he brings Sharon Horgan from, like, a bunch of British, like, I think she was on, the David Cross show on IFC.
Margaret. Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret, yeah.
Yeah, she was on that, and she was great. It's like he brings her to, like, this game night at Kyle Turner's house because, like, she's like a ringer because she has a British accent. She's like, she's smart. She's a British accent. But he is just like a dumb doofus who just, like, has no clue of, like, what anything's going on. But yeah, it's super funny. Lots of great twists. Definitely check that one out. Either in theater or when it hits video. And then I also saw in theater, I saw the Death Wish remake, which still...
Ooh, baby.
Like a week or two later, still no handle on, like, what the hell that movie was trying to do, or, like,
right.
What it was, like, what it... Is it, like, what its tone is, or, like, what its message is? Does it have a message? Like, what is Bruce Willis doing in it? Like, just so many questions. Because it's so weird, because it's, like, they're playing on, like, an actual, like, thing that's happening, where, like, Chicago's just, like, being, like, just, like, murder, like, just, like, the murder rate in Chicago's, like, apparently, like insanely high right now. And so that, but that's, like, the whole backdrop of this movie is, like, there's, like, the crime rate in Chicago is so high, it's, like, crime's everywhere.
Crime.
Yeah. Yeah, so then Bruce is Paul Kersey, the classic Charles Bronson character, except now he's an ER doctor, surgeon, and he gets called in to work on his birthday. His family's gonna go out to, like, a family dinner, but then he gets called into work, and then guys break into his house while he's at work and kill his wife and put his daughter into a coma.
Do they, like, rape her into a coma, or do they, like, push her down a flight of steps? Because, like, that first Death Wish movie, they rape his daughter retarded. Like, I don't know if you remember that, but it's, like, it was a different fucking time. Like, you cannot get away with that now. I'm not saying don't make it. I'm just saying good luck, like, fighting that battle.
You'd probably, like, it's Eli Roth, so you'd probably think that would happen, but he actually shows a lot of restraint for that one scene where they, like, he cut, like, the kind of, like, just cut outside, and she, like, you see, like, the flash of the gunshots going off, and then cut to, like, Bruce Willis at the hospital, like, being, like hearing, like, the overhead call of, like, two injured females coming in, and then Mike Epps being like, you don't want to go in there, man.
Oh god.
I have no clue why Mike Epps is in this movie. He has, like, two lines. So Paul / Bruce is trying to, like, let the police handle things. Like, he talks to Detective Hank Schrader.
Yeah.
They have, like, a bald man off.
And then, which one of us is the hero again? Oh, right. Okay.
What razor do you use? Do you use this cream? Like, I found this cream's really good. But yeah, it's taking too long. So, like, eventually, like, I have to take the law into my own hands. And first he goes to a gun store, and there's I don't know if it's trying to, like, be, like, a parody of, like, gun stores, or, like, you know, I was trying to make some sort of, like, weird point, but it's just, like, this weird, like. Like, he goes to this gun store, and it's like, how hard is he to gun? And it's like, this, like, the girl at the counter's like, it's so easy.
Wow.
And it just, like, goes to, like, all, like, you need to fill this out, but then we can, like, do this and this and this, and you'll be, like, instead of waiting a week for your gun, you can have your gun in 3 days. And then background checks, but that, we can do that, like, in an hour. It's fine. But then he decides not to get a gun. there, because it can track to him, I guess, or he decides, like, I don't want to, like, I have a gun that's, like, in my name, and that bullet's tracked to me for what I'm going to do. But then, luckily, someone gets brought to the ER that has a gun, and it falls off the fucking gurney.
Oh, my God.
So, like, he keeps the gun on. So he's like, oh, I have a gun now. So that, yeah, so he starts, like, there's, like, a training montage where, like, he's, like, training himself, like, where, like, he learns how, like, he's watching YouTube videos of, like, how to, like, shoot and, like, clean his gun, like do gun tactics. And then, yes, yeah, so, but then he finally goes out and starts, like, he, like, stops a carjacking and, like, kills both the guys. And then people start calling him the Grim Reaper. It's, like, this, like, Chicago vigilante who's running around in a hoodie. And it's a weird, there's another weird scene where, like, Bruce is watching, like, the cell phone footage of, like, him killing these guys, and he's getting, like, very, like, in, like, bizarrely excited about it. Where he's just like, oh, man, I look so good. Yeah. I'm so cool.
Really creepy.
And then there's that whole thing where, like, you saw in the trailers where he's going with, like, his, like, psychiatrist, and then, like, she's like, oh, what are you doing? You look great. He's like, eh, you know, stuff.
A lot of shooting.
You know, working out. So, yeah, so basically, like, he's just going on this vigilante spree, but it's like, another weird thing about this movie is, like, he doesn't even start to, like, investigate, like, his wife's murder until, like, an hour in, I would say. Like, he doesn't even get, like, a semblance of, like, a clue of, like, who these guys are until, like, at least an hour. Like, there's, like, a bunch of, like, other random crimes before he even, like, gets to them.
Oh, man.
And then when he finds out who they are, like, he blows through all of them in, like, half an hour. Like, it's like, as soon as he figures out who one of them is, it's just like they all just, like, fall like dominoes. We're just like every scene is like, find this guy, kill him, find this guy, kill him, find this guy, kill him.
That's so disappointing, because, like, I'm not saying the first Death Wish movie is, like, the best movie ever made or anything like that, but, like, good God, it's a good movie. Like, and it's very unsettling in how realistic it is. Like, yeah, okay, the violence is hyper, maybe, you know, hyper-realistic, and, you know, with the raping the daughter retarded thing, like, maybe that's a little bit much. Okay. But first of all, it's based on a book, number one, so you can't be, like, super pissed off at them, at the filmmakers. But even more important than that, though, is that the whole movie is about fear. It's not about revenge. It's a revenge movie, but it's about fear. The whole thing is that, like, you know, Bronson couldn't defend his family. And then he's just an architect. Like, he's got no idea, like, how the fuck to go about getting these guys and vigilante justice and all that shit. Like, when he kills in that movie, it's not action movie killing. It's, like, drama killing. Where it's like there's a struggle and, like, the gun doesn't go off and then, you know, bang, it finally goes off and the guy's dead. It's not Commando. Yeah. It's not Death Wish 2. It's certainly not Death Wish 3, 4, 5 and the rest of the gang, you know. But to me, that's part of what made it so brilliant. Like, he's not really – so in other words, like, it starts with I'm going to find these guys and make them pay. And then it kind of turns into, like, well, now that I've got nothing, like, that's the whole idea of using the title Death Wish. He does have a death wish. He's got nothing to live for. So he wants to go out killing these guys, you know, like the Punisher, at least he doesn't really want to die because he just wants to eradicate all criminality and all that stuff. That's his mission. Kersey doesn't have a mission. Especially not in the sequels. In the sequels, bad shit just happens around him. And he's like, oh, I gotta kill these guys now. But he's not like, oh, I'm gonna go to this place and break up this carjacking ring or anything like that.
Yeah, I feel like this new one is it feels like, I mean, obviously they're remaking the first movie, but it feels like more like there's like parts of like the later
right.
ones.
Right, like they just like jumped into ridiculousness like, yeah, and, yeah. Like,
because, like, not like another weird thing is, like, there's just, like, the tone of it's weird, because it's, like, they're showing, like, all the kill, like, a lot of, like, all the kills are, like, super insanely graphic, and, like, all these, like, gunshots are, like, it's just, like, horrific violence, and then, like, the scene where, like, where his family gets, like, his wife and daughter get killed is, like, this, like, almost like a horror movie, where it's, like, this, like, super tense, like, Dara's upstairs. She doesn't know what's going on. Like, these guys are sneaking around the house, and it's all, like, super serious. But then it's, like, later on, like, when Chrissy's, like, killing, like, the guys who actually are responsible for that, he's dropping one-liners, and it's like there's, like, wacky music playing, and the guys are getting bowling balls dropped in their heads from, like, a Rube Goldbergian, like, setup of, like, this bullet hit this book, they hit this... hit this bowling ball on a shelf, and it fell off the shelf and rolled off a bar and hit this guy in the head.
It went from Death Wish to the mechanic. Elaborate traps.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's really, I don't know. Like, half of what you just said I'm really into. Like, the really brutal violence, the horror movie undertones and all that stuff. Like, that sounds fucking cool. But then the other half of that sounds so terrible that I don't even really, like, want anything to do with it, you know?
And, like, and they also, they try to build up, to like, so, like, Chrissy, like, kind of finds, like, there's, like, a trio of guys. He finds the first two and, like, takes them out pretty easily, but there's, like, it seems like they're setting up, like, this, like, big confrontation with, like, the main guy who's, like, who masterminded all of it. Like, he was, like, the leader of the crew. And so they're just taking this whole, like, final confrontation with him. And it's super anticlimactic. It's just, like, it builds to this, like, final sequence. And it's just, like, 2 minutes. It's, like, that's it? All right. we waited the entire movie for this one scene. That's over in, like, 10 seconds. It's strange. It's a strange movie.
Sure.
Like, I mean, if you're a fan of the first, like, if you're a fan of the original, I would say, like, this is probably gonna be super disappointing. But it's not terrible. It's, like, a solid revenge movie, but it's just, like,
questionable.
There's better, go watch Death Sentence or something, or, like, The Punisher,
or The Brave One.
Yeah, but yeah, like all, like a bunch of the movies that have, like, kind of tried to be Death Wish in sense,
right? Spiritual remakes of it
are definitely much better movies than this.
I mean, Death Sentence is a motherfucker. That was one of the first Netflix movies I ever streamed, like when streaming first became a thing. And I remember watching that movie in my dorm sophomore year on my laptop, like with headphones. Like, it wasn't a sexy setup, right? But I'm sitting there at my desk watching it. I'm like, my girlfriend at the time is asleep, and I'm just sitting there like, oh my god, like, I just want to, like, scream or, like, cry or something. Like, it had such a great, like, maybe it's because I was sitting so close to the screen, but I was just like, oh my god, I feel all of Kevin Bacon's pain right now. This is crazy. I mean, it was a very good movie, but just goddamn.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say watch
that. Yeah. Watch that and think of what could have been.
Or the original. The original's on Stars. I think Death Sentence is on, like, Netflix.
Yeah, sure is.
So, watch either of those.
So here's another question. One last closing question for you, though. And no, it's not about the bang joke at the end, you know, with the finger gun or whatever.
I mean, it's
so iconic in the first one, like, it's so good, and it was just in there as an afterthought. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, this is the whole, like, joke or crux of the movie or whatever. That was just in there as, like, I'll get you, motherfucker. Like, it was just a cool way to, like, end on Bronson without it being, like, totally morbid or whatever, or without him dying, let's face it, if it was going to be realistic. But what I was going to ask is it worth... Two-part question. Is it worth renting, do you think, just to check it out? Like, it's worth renting on Blu-ray. And the second part question to that is, do you think that perhaps there's a director's cut or an unrated cut that maybe has a little more value to it, and that this is just what we got stuck with for theaters?
I'd say definitely, if you're curious, I'd say it's... I don't think it's worth, like, you don't need to, like, waste your time in the theater.
Okay.
Spending, like, $10, see, it's like, but yeah, if it comes out in, like, it seems like a solid, it'd be a solid red box if you're, like, want just, like, a solid,
that's what it seems movie. Like.
And then, yeah, director's cut, like, I don't know what else you could add to it, because it's, like, it's already, like, insanely violent.
Well, that's why I asked. I don't know, with the humor and stuff like that, it seems like that might have been added to, like, dull things a little bit, but not necessarily, like, mandated that it was added to dull things. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, if it's insanely violent, like, isn't that the stuff that would be selling a director's cut? Is that it's, like, bloodier, gorier, all that shit? So, like, it seems like just bad movie making on when it comes to the things that were bad about it. Not like, oh, they took out all the balls from this movie. It's like, oh, no, this is just questionable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so that was the Death Wish 2018. I think it's one of those remakes where it's just like, why did we even need to remake it? It's like, I mean, the Thing was not a remake, like the 2011 Thing. But I mean, that was a remake of The Thing, and that was terrible. It didn't exist. And this is like, it's not terrible, it's just sort of like, meh. Like, I don't...
It's like the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, where it's like, I guess that's Freddy Krueger, but, I mean, why is it Freddy Krueger? Like, why are you doing this to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Bruce is a weird choice, I think. It never he doesn't disappear, he doesn't become Paul Kersey, it's just Bruce Willis is, like, running around. It's like... speaking of, like, director's cut stuff and, I really want to know what the, like, Joe Carnahan, Liam Neeson, like, Frank Grillo version was going to be, because, like, I feel like he would have, like, set, like, he would have made, like, he would have set it in the 70s. Like, he would have made, like, a gritty 70s, like, revenge movie.
Absolutely, man. Well, that's the guy who wanted to do a fucking, Daredevil movie, and he made Daredevil, the sizzle reel for it and put it online, and it looked goddamn awesome. He gets it, that would have been incredible, probably.
Well, the crazy thing is, like, he wrote the script, but then he was like, I think he was gonna write and direct it, and then I can't remember what studio put this out, but they were just like, they wanted to make, like, it was like creative differences, quote unquote. So he's like, "Fuck you guys, I'm out." but he still gets like I guess I don't know what changes they made to the script, but he still gets like full. Like, he's the only credited screenwriter on this one.
Interesting.
But I think Joe Carnahan had, like, probably has been like, this movie is fucking garbage. Like, this is what I want. This isn't what I was thinking when I wrote this script for the new Death Wish.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I almost wanted to say that I, like, blocked it out, that they could have done this.
Well, actually, like, if you go way, way back, like, Stallone was going to direct and star in a Death Wish remake.
I remember that. I remember us talking about it, and it was, like, the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been this slow, weird transformation to, like, Eli Roth directing Bruce Willis in Death Wish. But yeah, so that's that. And then also, couple more quick hits. Ash vs. Evil Dead came back, actually 2 weeks ago, so we're 2 episodes into the new season. It's still great. Nice. It's awesome. They're doing the big thing this season is that Ash finds out he has a daughter named Brandy. There's the whole kind of, like, evil plot is that, like, Lucy Lawless's Ruby, is trying to, like, destroy Ash and then all of his, like, seed and all of his children, and then she has, like, she's, like, birthed, like, this evil demon baby that, like, if Ash and his children die, then this baby will get, like, the, like, chosen one powers. She'll be unstoppable.
Seems about right.
And, definitely, like, season one was a solid, like, kind of reintroduction, but then season two had, like, another, like, amazing, like gross out, like, it wasn't as gross as, like, the, like, Ash getting forced, like, the entire, like, the digestive system of a corpse from season two, but there's a crazy action sequence on a sperm bank in season two that, yeah, like, you already know what's happening, like, Ash is getting gobs of things thrown at him. But there's also awesome stuff where, like, the whole sequence is actually, it's set to Aha, Take on Me, which is amazing. And then she has just like this deadite, like the woman who runs the sperm bank, like the doctor who runs the sperm bank, turns into deadite and just starts throwing sperm samples at Stash. He's just like dodging them. But then also like one of the like porno mags like comes to life, and there's like just like his arm coming out of a porno mag, like grabbing Ash by the balls and just like just crushing his balls. Uh-huh. It's a fantastic classic, like, Ash reveal that gross-out scene. Gross-out action scene.
I mean, my whole thing is I don't have Stars anymore. I used to bum it off my mom's cable. She doesn't pay for it anymore, which is fine. Still love you, Mom. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm just going to pay for, like, a month of Stars on Amazon channels.
That's what I did. Because I was watching...
Yeah.
Counterpart, the J.K. Simmons show, and then like Ash vs. Evil Dead was like right afterwards, or like they're both still on the same right now, but I think Counterpart's almost done. But yeah, it's like $8 to add it to your
Amazon Prime. And that's what I'm saying. I'll probably do that for like a month or whatever the minimum is, and just watch that. I really want to see how is Counterpart.
Like it's
wanted to check that out too.
Like it's double J.K. Simmons, and he's amazing as both. Like it's an awesome espionage show, but then also it's like this crazy sci-fi premise of like warring like different Earths. So it's like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, but like an alternate universe,
right?
As well. Yeah, and also Stars, like they're, if you like when you add to Amazon, like if you just take a look at like what movies they have, like they have some, their movie catalog is pretty awesome as far like the back catalog of like stuff. They have all the Universal monster movies and stuff as part of their back catalog. They got like
Stars is great. I used to love having Stars. That's the thing. Little backstory on my mom for our listeners. She kept Showtime but got rid of Stars, and I would have flipped that around, but I'm not paying the bill, you know what I mean? Yeah. But
I can't even think of a single show.
It's like literally Dexter reruns are the big thing. But
no one talks about Homeland anymore. So
but nevertheless, yeah, I'm probably gonna wind up just adding that.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Ash's Evil Dead are like definitely worth the
wait
for season 3.
Very cool.
And then, yeah, just a couple other quick movies I checked on HBO, either again or, like, just for the full for the first time. But, yeah, rewatch Double Impact. Nice. Like, let's just say Stone Cold mm-hmm. and Damn Classic. Like, and I think the first of his many twin movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, that's Van Damme's big thing is just, like, twins or clones or doubles, which they parodied, like... hilariously on JCPJ. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like awesome action sequences. Like the whole, there's like the whole like crazy like warehouse shootout where like the Van Dammes are fighting Triad guys, and like the whole like final sequence in the boats. And you got like Bolo Young from Bloodsport is like the main villain in this too, and he's just like throwing barrels at Van Damme for like the final battle. And yeah, just an awesome, crazy Van Damme twin movie. Where he plays like the hard ass brother, but then also like this like the wacky fun brother. It's like I was reading like Wikipedia, like Van Damme was like, I want to show off both sides of my personality in this movie.
Boy, did he!
Yeah. And then I also watched, I've seen parts of it on, like, TNT or something, but I never saw the whole movie, but Sum of All Fears.
Okay.
It's not great. it's fine, but it's, like, compared to the other Jack Ryan movies, like, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but, like, that's, like, the Batman and Robin of the Jack Ryan series, where it's, like, we need to, like, stop this and come back a couple years, like... Because the weird thing about the movie is, like, it peaks, like, halfway through, because, like, the nuclear bomb goes off, mm-hmm. spoiler alert. And then, but then the rest, there's still, like, 40 minutes of movie left, so it's just, like, you can't top this. You can't top a nuclear bomb going off. Like, what's left to do? It's just, like, it's just Ben Affleck just, like, running around, like, yelling
yeah, really.
On the phone. Like, there's no, like, crazy, like, it's not an action-packed movie. It's just, like, a nuclear bomb goes off, and it's just, like, Ben Affleck, the big like action climax is like Ben Affleck on a computer like
he's typing
emails to Russia. Like, yeah. I don't think he's not even typing. He's just like dictating to people. He's like, type this, type this.
Quick send.
Yeah. You know, I will say probably the best thing about the movie though is like it has maybe the most impressive assemblage of fat guys in movie history. Like it has like James Cromwell is the president, and he has like this like all the joint chiefs are like his like staff are just like it's all they're all just that guys. It's like the that guy yeah. presidency. Because you got like Bruce McGill, you got Philip Baker Hall, you got like like Ron Rifkin, like all like just all these like 90s that guys are all together nice. In this one movie.
And then yeah, Morgan Freeman, yeah, obviously. That was a big selling point. Or the yeah. other big selling point, I should say.
Yeah, which we'll say, like, he and Ben Affleck have some solid, like, back and forth, but... And then, spoiler alert, Morgan Freeman dies during the nuclear bombs. It's like, well, we lost him, and there's nothing else going on in this movie, so... But yeah, that was like I don't think that movie did very well in theaters either. So it's just like, well, Jack Ryan needs to go on the back burner, and then we'll have Chris Pine play him in a couple years, and that won't work either.
Yeah, it sure didn't.
I'm really curious about how that Amazon show is going to be in like a month or two.
Yeah, we're going to find out, aren't we?
See if Jim from The Office can
the tuna
do that one. His one movie action career going from Benghazi to this.
Yeah, he wasn't bad in that. He wasn't bad. It's just no. I was very aware that I was watching Jim from The Office. You know?
Yep.
And so there's just like a little bit of like it didn't translate for me.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, especially compared to like the Harrison Ford or like Hunt for the October, like
yeah.
Son of All Fears is like nowhere near as good as any of those. But yeah, so that's gonna do it for me this week. So we can wrap things up. We got a ton of stuff going on the site and also on the Facebook page for actually this whole month. So over on the site, we have our Blade commentary up. You can go listen to that, watch Blade with us. And over on the Facebook page, facebook.com/everything.action, we're doing Action Madness because it's March, so it's tournament time. And we're trying to figure out what the greatest movie of the 80s or 90s is. We got a bunch, like 25 of the best from each decade up against each other. And some crazy matchups so far, and then also like crazy ones coming up. Like already round two, we're gonna have like Terminator versus Predator.
Wow.
Like. Yeah, that's a round two. That's like that normally
that's a
like a
Super
final
Bowl
matchup. That's round two. Yeah. Yeah, so it's gonna get insane real quick. So definitely, there's two matchups every day on the Facebook page at 11 and 1 a.m. Eastern time. So definitely head over there, vote, and we'll try to figure out what the greatest action movie of all time is, or at least for the
yeah.
two best decades for action.
Oh my gosh.
And, yeah, all the regular stuff is up on the site as well, so definitely head over there, check that out. And, yeah, so for Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com, email us at contact@everythingaction.com, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and search for us on the iTunes Music Store and stitcher.com.